Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here we go. You're just in time getting underway with the most heavily commuted, not to mention most heavily congested hour of the Bobby Mac Show with yours truly, the attack dog of the right, the bombastic loud mouth of the South. If you miss the keyword, by the way, in the $1,000 bankroll contest for this hour, kick, K-I-C-K, something the Chicago Bears kicker had some difficulty with. And their playoff game, but we won't rehash that. Great to have you along, and as always, your input is invited, encouraged, and welcomed. Ingalls Advantage talk line number, 800-347-1063. Common Sense Retirement Planning text line number, 71307, and my email address, bob@1063word.com. There probably have been times in America's past when politics were as divisive, as stressful as they are today, but we would be hard-pressed to find anybody living who might be able to recount that period of time. And I'm joined this afternoon by Rich Rubino. He's a prolific author, a commentator on American politics, but not your run-of-the-mill pundit. Politics as usual. Rich instead explores the humorous side of politics. And Rich, considering the way things are these days, we could use a good giggle about now.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Absolutely.
Your new book, American Politics on the Rocks,
yep.
The Bizarre Side of American Politics, takes a look at. And look, as somebody who has made a living for more than five decades now talking, I am very cognizant of the fact that if you do this long enough, if you speak in public long enough, sooner or later, you will find shoe leather inside your mouth.
Oh, absolutely. That's the thing about politics. If you know, you're on point 99.9% of the time. Your advisor are telling you to stay on message, to the point you become almost like a robot.
Right.
And then that one time that you actually sometimes say, either whether it's a microphone picking you up, or you're saying what you really feel, and then somebody picks it up, or a
yeah.
tracker from another campaign comes
right.
and picks it up, then you're in trouble.
Yeah, because God forbid you should be caught telling the voters the truth, right?
No, that should never happen. That's not in American politics.
And I love various examples in the past. One of my favorites is a 1950 U.S. Senate race, and I don't know if you mentioned this one in the book or not, between Claude Peppers and Senator George Smathers. This was one of my all-time favorites. It's become a legend, and it centers on one key quotation that summed up the rivalry between the two men, as Smathers was supposed to have dazzled rural voters with a barrage of double talk in which he allegedly said, "Are you aware that Claude Peppers is known all over Washington as a shameless
yep.
extrovert? And not only that, but this man is reliably reported to practice nepotism with his sister-in-law, and he has a sister who once was a thespian in wicked New York. And worst of all, it's an established fact that Mr. Pepper, before his marriage, habitually practiced celibacy."
All accurate. You can't see.
Yeah.
It's one of those technical truths, you know?
Yes, exactly. And it's classic. It kind of reminds me of the politician who once said, "If my opponent will stop telling the truth about me, I'll stop lying about him," or something to that effect.
That reminds me of when, I don't know if you remember this, but back in 1988, when there was a really heated rivalry between Bob Dole and George H.W. Bush.
Yes.
And they were interviewing George H.W. Bush, and then Bob Dole was supposed to come on next, and he was somewhere else. And then they asked George W. Bush, he said, "Is there anything you'd like to say to Senator Dole?" He said, "No." He just said, "You know, I wish him well, and, you know, we'll see him in South Carolina." And they said, "Senator Dole, is there anything you would like to say to George W. Bush?" He said, "Yeah, stop lying about my record."
Oh, you love it when these things happen. You detail some of those notorious bloopers that various politicians have committed. Now, Ike, you know, Ike was in my memory anyway, kind of like Herbert Hoover in that he was very low key.
Yeah.
And he was very calm and cool and collected. He was the supreme commander of Allied forces in World War II. And yet, apparently, Ike had a temper.
Yes, he absolutely did have a temper. And this was the time of the advent of what we call the teleprompter, I guess. You know, now every politician has to read from a teleprompter. But before that, people were looking down. And if you look at old speeches, oftentimes it looked like they're looking down. But when the teleprompter was invented, Dwight Eisenhower was giving a speech in Minneapolis, and he started saying, "Move up, move up, move that thing up," you know, and then it was on the radio, and people were listening, and they're saying, "What is going on?" Because people are saying, you know, first of all, they're wondering whether this teleprompter is. It's probably the second or third time he's ever really used it.
Right.
And that was really a pivotal campaign. And that was also an interesting election because his opponent that year was Illinois Governor Adlai Stevenson.
Right.
And Stevenson had paid for some airtime the day before the actual election, and when he paid for that allotted time, unfortunately Stevenson tended to drone on and on. You know, intellectuals aren't necessarily very good in terms of winning public office.
Very true.
Sometimes they're seen as somebody that's kind of looking down on people, that's patronizing people. His problem is he just droned on, and eventually the networks just cut it at the end, and that was kind of, I think, that was a harbinger for things to come, because he ended up losing the next day, and then in 1956 he lost again to Dwight Eisenhower.
And people were wondering what Ike was talking about, and he was saying, go ahead. Yeah, damn it, I want him to move up. scroll that stupid thing up and get to the next part of the speech. Classic. Another great
Absolutely.
Moment. We remember epically Governor Rick Perry of Texas, who was a guest in this studio during that campaign. And I don't know if he just got road weary, you know, brain fugue or what happened. But you remember epically in the debate, I think it was a debate here in South Carolina, where he got a brain freeze.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If you remember this, it's a great picture. There's Ron Paul standing there and asking him, which agencies would you cut? And he starts saying, and he says, well, and he talks about, he says, there's commerce. And then he said, there's education. And then he says, the third one. And then he said, let's see. And he's talking to the third type of an agency. He repeated education. And then he says, commerce. And then he said, you know, then later it turned out that, ironically, that he said that the agency that he couldn't come up with was the Department of Energy, which is very ironic because he is currently not the governor of Texas. He is the cabinet secretary, and he is in charge of the Department of
Energy, which is so vital, of course, that he couldn't remember it during the debate.
I think that's something that, you know, that's something that I think can happen to absolutely anybody, by the way.
Oh, sure.
I'm sure that happens on radio. You just all of a sudden you have a brain freeze and you're saying, what was I talking about?
You bet.
And when you don't have notes there, I mean, it can really be a very scary enterprise. And we saw that happen to somebody, you know, so somebody who had been elected governor of Texas three times.
Yeah, right. And just one of those awkward moments where it just has vanished from your lexicon. Gerald Ford was often kidded on Saturday Night Live, you know, as being a dunderhead and one thing in there. And actually, I thought President Ford was a pretty smart guy. I love that line when he came in, when he said, "I'm a Ford, not a Lincoln." But he was doing a speech during the 76 campaign that you outline in your book also.
Yes, absolutely. And, of course, Ford, by the way, you know, he was a pretty smart guy. He had a degree from Yale Law School, remember? But
right.
He was speaking one time, and he said, "I say to you, this is nonsense." And he was supposed to say, "I say to you, this is nonsense." He was supposed to say it like, "I say to you, this is nonsense." So the speechwriter put the word with emphasis in there, but forgot to put parentheses in there.
Oh, geez.
So he said, "I say to you, this is nonsense." With emphasis.
Just to make sure you understand.
Yes, absolutely.
I am emphatically saying this is nonsense, and I'm saying that emphatically with emphasis because he inadvertently read the margin note in there.
And another thing interesting about him, people, I mean, have this vision of Chevy Chase falling down and everything, but he was probably the most athletic president in American history. Remember, this is somebody who played, was a center for the University of Michigan football team,
right,
and actually got contracts offered from the Green Bay Packers and the Detroit Lions, which he decided to forgo so that he could become an assistant coach at Yale and also go to Yale Law School. So that was one of the kind of ironies, I think, of American history.
Yeah, that's true. The rollover liberty stuff with the Golden Retriever and all of that stuff.
Yes.
President Reagan maybe most famously remembered for joking around before a national broadcast and saying, "We've come up with a solution with the Soviet Union. Bombing begins in 5 minutes."
And that's one of those hidden camera. That's one of those I like to call them the hot microphone moments.
Right.
He was joking to reporters. He really popularized the national radio address, which they give on Saturday morning. He's talking. And he says, you know, when he talks and he jokes around, he says, I just want to say to the Soviet Union that we're about to bomb. We start bombing in 5 minutes. There are people who were listening to this live and saying, "What am I listening to?"
Yeah, what's going on here, Dad? Do we need to do the duck and cover routine here?
There are some conspiracy theorists who will say that what he was trying to do was actually send a warning to the Soviet Union that, yes, I would do it. I mean, there's absolutely no evidence of that, but it's a great conspiracy theory.
Well, and of course, the KGB was constantly telling the Politburo, "Yeah, this guy's a maniac. He's out of control." It was funny. You talk about a speech that President Reagan did in 1988, where he was attempting to quote John Adams.
Yes, John Adams made the famous quote. He said, "Facts are stubborn things." Well, Ronald Reagan's giving the speech in 1988 for campaigning for George H.W. Bush as vice president. He says, "Facts are stupid things."
Well, you know, given certain instances, I'm inclined to agree with him. Facts can be stupid things. It's a funny book, and given the state of politics these days, it'll give you a giggle. It's called American Politics on the Rocks, The Bizarre Side of American Politics, and the author is Rich Rubino. And I guess, Amazon and every place else, Rich?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Amazon.com. We can get a laugh out of politics. Believe it or not, there is a funny side out of politics. It's not all serious.
Yeah, and I'm relieved to hear it. I can tell you that.
It's not all Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer.
Please, yeah, spare us. Rich Rubino, the author of the book, again, is American Politics on the Rocks. Rich, thanks a lot for your time today, and thanks for a giggle.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me on.
You bet. Good to have you here, sir. 18 after 5 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Take a quick break and be right back with more here on Hump Day. And my friend from Texas, the late, great B.W. Stevenson, wrote this one, "The Road to Shambhala." 24 after 5 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Great to have you along here on this hump day afternoon. I shared part of this yesterday, and I wanted to recycle it today because it's important, especially in the discussion that we had earlier about RIFs, reductions in force in the federal government, where after a 30-day period when the government is shut down, federal employees can be told, "There's the door, hit it." Now, there are a number of caveats to that, but in any event, this op-ed was funneled to the folks at the Daily Caller anonymously. "Federal employees are starting to feel the strain of the shutdown. I am one of them. But for the sake of our nation, I hope it lasts a very long time till the government has changed and can never return to its previous form. The lapse in appropriations is more than a battle over a wall. It is an opportunity to strip wasteful government agencies for good. On an average day, roughly 15% of the employees around me are exceptional patriots serving their country. I wish I could give competitive salaries to them and no one else. But 80% feel no pressure to produce results. If they don't feel like doing what they're told, they don't. Why would they? We can't fire them. They avoid attention, plan their weekends, schedule their vacations, their second job, their next position. Some do this in the same position for more than a decade. They do nothing that warrants punishment and nothing of external value. That is their workday. Errands for the sake of errands, administering, refining, following, and collaborating on process. Process is your friend," is what delusional civil servants tell themselves. "Even senior officials must gain approval from every rank across their department, other agencies, and work units for basic administrative chores. Process is what we serve. Process keeps us safe and is our core value. It takes a lot of people to maintain the process. Process provides jobs. In fact, there are experts and process managers who protect the process. Then there are the 5% with moxie, career managers. At any given time, they can change, clarify, or add to the process, even to distort or block policy counsel for the president. Saboteurs peddling opinion as research, tasking their staff on pet projects, or pitching wasteful grants to their friends. Most of my career, colleagues actively work against the president's agenda. This means I typically spend about 15% of my time on the president's agenda and 85% trying to stop sabotage. And we have no power to get rid of them until the shutdown. Due to the lack of funding, many federal agencies are now operating more effectively from the top down on a fraction of their workforce, with only select essential personnel serving national security tasks. The nature of a big administrative bureaucracy is to grow to serve itself. I watch it and fight it daily. When the agency is full, employees held liable for poor performance respond with threats, lawsuits, complaints, and process in at least a dozen offices, taking years of mounting paperwork with no fear of accountability, extending their careers while no real work is done. Do we succumb to this extortion? Yes. We pay them settlements, we waive bad reviews, and we promote them. Many government agencies have adopted the position that more complaints are good because it shows inclusion in, you guessed it, the process. When complaints come, it's cheaper to pay them off than to hold public servants accountable. And it goes on this way for a while and then concludes, a word of caution, to be a victory, this shutdown must be different than those of the past and should achieve lasting disruption with two major changes, or it will hurt the president. The first thing we need out of this is better security at the southern border. Secondly, we need savings for taxpayers. If this fight is merely rhetorical, bickering with Nancy Pelosi, we all lose, especially the president. But if it proves that government is better when smaller, focusing only on essential functions that serve Americans, then President Trump will achieve something great that Reagan was only bold enough to dream about. The president's instincts are correct. Most Americans will not miss non-essential government functions. A referendum to end government plunder must happen. Wasteful government agencies are fighting for relevance, but they will lose. Now is the time to deliver historic change by cutting them down forever. The author writing this piece anonymously is a senior official in the Trump administration. And this is where the rifts, the reductions in force, come in. So is this the president's plan? This the long game here? Use reductions in force and get the size of government pared down to size. 5:30 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Annie's ready to go in the news center. I'm right back on the other side here on Hump Day.
Work.
It's never ending as we slave away over a hot microphone and computer terminal for 4 hours each weekday, Monday through Friday. Boy, it's big of Michael Strahan, isn't it? The host of GMA. He's not a gap-toothed lib, is he? A little virtue signaling there. Oh, I'll buy the Clemson football team a lobster dinner. And I'll pay for it myself. Michael, who do you think paid for the dinner at the White House, out of his own pocket? President Trump. Jerk. Richie is along in Spartanburg. He also wants to chime in on feeding the Clemson team lobster. Isn't that elitist, though, Richie, to go above the fast food and spring for lobster?
I would rather have one of Trump's burgers than 10 of Michael Strahan's lobsters.
Yeah, me too. Just, you know,
and I can
these guys see an opportunity to get their name out there and get some coverage, and so they, you know, They want to get their 15 minutes of fame, get retweets or whatever.
And I can guarantee you, Bob, he's not paying for it.
No.
He's not paying for it. I mean, it's like hamburgers are not good enough, you know. I mean, I would be honored to meet President Trump and him feed me a Wendy's, McDonald's, Hardee's. I don't care.
See, you've cut to the core of the issue here, Richie. All of these Clemson football players will have a story to tell their grandchildren about the day they went to the White House and had dinner with the President of the United States. You think the grandkids are going to ask what was on the menu?
That's, you know, you're exactly right about that. But I don't know. How can you say that the president was wrong for feeding the gentleman, you know, hamburgers? I mean, I'd be honored to be eating hamburgers with Trump.
You and me both. By the way, you know how many leftovers they had?
None.
Correct. These are big college football players.
Before we get off, I get off the phone with you, Bob. I just want to say you and Money Penny and Annie and all the listeners, especially the regulars that call in, y'all rock. And I just love listening to y'all.
Very, very kind of you to say that, Richard. We appreciate it. And right back at you, because we couldn't do what we do if we didn't have the support of folks like you every day.
Thanks, Bob.
My pleasure. Thank you, Richie. Yeah. Just, it's more virtue signaling. That's how, President Trump is not good enough to feed him a lobster. He feeds him hamburgers. But me, big former pro football player, I'm a big lib. I'm rich enough that I can virtue signal by offering to feed him a lobster. What a jerk. Well, he was a jerk before that, and he just reinforced that he's a jerk. In on the text line, 71307. Wait a second, too. Didn't Obama serve hot dogs at the White House at some event? Money Penny, take a quick look. Just put Obama served hot dogs and see what kind of search results you get, because that pops up in my brain. In on the text line 71307, don't you think the president or people working with him would have asked Dabo Swinney what the players want to eat when they come to the White House? Apparently there were no complaints. You know what I just thought of, Money Penny? You know what would have been funny? If the president had served them Taco Bell. You get two for the price of one. You get the Clemson National Championship football team at the White House, and you get in a border message. Remember the old Taco Bell ads, run for the border? That would have been classic. I'm surprised. They need to hire me, because I would suggest stuff like that. No, I wouldn't last. No, that's stupid, Bobby Mac. Shut up. Bobby, I just had two big juicy burgers at Five Guys. Should I have eaten caviar and lobster instead?
Wrong.
Bob, you know, nobody likes Big Macs. It's a total fluke that Mickey D's has served over 5 billion of them. Correct me if I'm wrong, Bob, but didn't the players or Dabo say they wanted fast food? Somebody needs to check, too. What were they served 2 years ago when they went to the White House? But 2 years ago, we weren't in a partial government shutdown. There are no chefs in the White House kitchen. The president had to have his minions go out, you know, with his cash. What was it, $3,000 or $4,000? It's at least that for all that food. Bobby Mac, tell you what, I'll gladly pay for the burger myself in order to have dinner with the president. No kidding. Hey, Bob, here's a question. Is it legal for Strahan or somebody else to spend that much money on college players? Wouldn't they be getting and something additional that's not available to a regular student body? Bobby, who's paying for the travel to go get that lobster? Bob, what if one of the players is allergic to shellfish? Huh? What then, Strahan? What then? What say you? Yeah, and this is exactly right. It's not about the food that was being served. It was about the honor of being at the White House and getting to meet the president. That's what these players were interested in. Of course they were. Bobby, I worked for state government once. What a culture shock it was. Two of my coworkers, their goal every day was to come in, sit down, and not move until lunch. And then come back, sit down, and not move again until it was time to go home. And again, we don't want to, you know, overpaint this with too broad a brush. I often quote Thomas Jefferson saying no generalization is correct. But there are exemplars that do stand out here, okay? Bob, the discussion with the book and politicians and presidents saying dumb things. President Ford only looked clumsy because he was left-handed and his Secret Service detail was right-handed. People instinctively turned to their strong side, and that's why he kept colliding with his agents. Bobby, your mentioning of rush hour congestion at this time of day on Fairview Road in Simpsonville has taken on a whole new dimension these past couple of years. Little Woodruff has become a near nightmare to avoid, if at all possible. At least traffic engineering could retime the lights, but no! And the zoning office never saw a building permit they couldn't approve. And our population continues to grow from Al in Simpsonville. What is this from Moneypenny? Emails from global intelligence firm Stratfor, released by WikiLeaks in 2012, that show that the Obama administration spent $65,000 of taxpayer money to fly hot dogs to a private dinner party in the White House, 2009.
That's InfoWars.
Yeah. InfoWars. At least the players got hamburgers. Not hot dogs. 5:45, right back.
Bob McLean.
As the sun sinks slowly over the western horizon, not a bad sunset tonight. Give it about a 6. Not too bad. Great to have you along. Ingalls Advantage talk line number, of course, 800-347-1063. Common Sense Retirement Planning text line number, 71307. Remember a while back, this has been, holy cow, 4, 5, maybe even 6 years ago, when I was up in Washington and talking with many of the people who ranch and live on the borders, Texas, New Mexico, and Arizona, about all the illegals. And they had talked about finding copies of the Quran out in the desert. Flash forward to today, Lordsburg, New Mexico. Ranchers and farmers near the U.S.-Mexico border have been finding prayer rugs on their properties in recent months, according to one rancher who asked to remain anonymous for fear of retaliation by the cartels. The mats, of course, are pieces of carpet that those of the Muslim faith kneel on as they aim themselves towards Mecca to worship during their unauthorized trek into and through the United States. There's a lot of people coming in, not just from Mexico, the rancher said. People, the general public, just don't get the terrorist threats of that. That's what's really scary. You don't know what's coming across. We found prayer rugs out there. It's unreal. It's not just Mexican nationals that are coming across. The rancher, who lives with her family in a remote southwestern part of the state, said the discoveries raise questions about how many illegally enter the U.S. in Hidalgo County, New Mexico. How many of them travel thousands of miles from overseas to sneak across the southern border? So there is that. And then, of course, there's the criminal element all the time. See the story of the woman who was murdered by MS-13 gang members. Where was this? Alabama, I believe. And her 13-year-old daughter was beheaded. Man who was allegedly involved in a drunk driving hit-and-run accident severely injured a 6-year-old hit-and-run accident. Costantino Banda Acosta, 38. I wonder if he's any relation to Jim Acosta at CNN. Moneypenny, what do you think? Has been arrested and charged with DUI resulting in bodily injury, hit and run with an injury, both of which are felonies, and a misdemeanor driving without a license in connection to a crash that took place in San Ysidro Saturday night. According to police, Banda Acosta was driving his Chevy Silverado pickup truck at a high rate of speed on Camino de la Plaza at around 11:30 when he blew a stop sign and smashed into a Honda Accord carrying the Lake family, who were returning home from a trip to Disneyland. Bad enough. Gets worse. The collision took place just a block away from the family's home. The driver of the speeding pickup truck did not pull over to render aid. Of course not. The victim's Honda Accord sustained the heaviest damage on the driver and rear passenger side, where Lennox Lake was in the vehicle. The boy's mother scrambled out of the car and rushed to her son, who was unconscious, not breathing, and bleeding from his nose, ears, and a wound on his head. 6 years old. Did I mention Mr. Banda Acosta? Yeah, worst part of this, totally unnecessary, could have been avoided. Maybe if, say, we had a wall on the border, could have been avoided by strictly and consistently enforcing existing immigration law and doing away with sanctuary cities and states, with immediate deportation for those who are here illegally, prison time for second offenders, hard prison time for multiple offenders, create an effective deterrent to stop the madness. Oh, about Mr. Banda Acosta? He had been deported. Yeah. Didn't stay deported. He came back illegally again. Deported once. Deported twice. Deported three times. Deported four times. Deported five times. I could go on like this for a while, because Senor Banda Acosta, who fled the scene of the DUI accident, he called it, severely injured a six-year-old, had been deported a grand total of, you ready? Ready for this? 15 times. 15 times he'd been deported. Didn't seem to stop him. He's cruising along in America in his Chevy Silverado pickup. Holy cow. And Pelosi and Schumer want to protect those kind of people? Here's this family calmly driving home from Disneyland. They're a block from the house, and their lives are changed forever. And the stories like that are legion. Bob, all you speed demons using Old Findlay and Slickham Road in Pickens to get around the 183 bridge closure, better slow yourself down. County Mounties and Highway Patrol have taken up residence out there. They had five pulled over across from my dad's house yesterday. All got tickets for speeding. Stand by, because we're not done for the day. We're a long way from done. We got the bonus hour still to come here on Hump Day on WORD.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.